Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Father, we welcome your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are here with us this morning, ready to bless us, ready to empower us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. A lot of good news quickly before we move. Amen. On the 6th of July, 2025. 6th of July, 2025. We are launching ABC Rustenburg. Oh, yes. So, you need to mark your calendars because in about a month's time, ABC Rustenburg will officially start. Amen. Hallelujah. We are entering that city by faith. Amen. We've been there already, so we are now saying, no, I think it's time to play the big league. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So please pray with us and pray for us. Our brothers have been traveling from Rustenburg every Sunday to be here. But we feel it's time to do something there. Amen? Amen. So join us. And if you have people that are staying in Rustenburg, that know about ABC, or you want to introduce them to ABC, that's a great opportunity. Yes, to, you know, tell them about this, tell them that a church has arrived there, and they will be, you know, blessed to come and join us. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together one more time. And we are currently meeting in Klabane West. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, we are meeting inside a garage. If you don't like it, leave us alone. We are meeting inside that garage for now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Bible says, do not despise the days of small beginning. Yeah. We have turned a garage into a church. Yeah. And I was telling the church that, you know, this is very prophetic because Steve Jobs started Apple inside the garage. Yeah. Bill Gates started Microsoft inside the garage. And Pastor Pascal is starting ABC Rustenburg inside the garage. Praise the Lord. You will be blessed. You know, when you come there, you can never even think you are in a garage. Hallelujah. The power of God is there. This past Thursday, God gave me a prophetic word. The place was vibrating. Even myself who was preaching, I was like, what kind of revelations are this? The people that were there on Thursday, they know something has broken through by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And yet there is another good news for you this morning. Hallelujah. This church is a blessed church. And God has started and God will not stop until you get your own blessing. Hallelujah. Our brother and our sister, they've been trusting God to settle them. You know, in this church, we believe in marriage. I don't believe in, how they call it, fat and sick. Fat and sick, or set and fuck, whatever it is. It is not the right way. You must start like that, but don't end like that. Hallelujah. So our brother and our sister, you know, when I met them, they were doing fat and sick. Hey. And sick and fat. Hey. I told them, guys, this is not right. Come here. Sit here. You go. You go. Fix this thing first before you come together. And I thought they were going to leave the church. Because this is telling people the truth. You are telling people the truth at your own risk. Before you realize, they punish you by leaving you. But not these ones. They received the instruction. They submitted themselves. And last year, they actually asked permission. My son asked permission from his mother-in-law, and they registered their marriage at Home Affairs. Are you getting it? So their marriage was already registered. But I told them, no, I'm still not happy. Your marriage is registered, but you haven't paid lobola. How can you do something like that? You're supposed to pay lobola first, then go and register the marriage. So I said to them, we will not bless it until you pay lobola first. And I'm standing here before you, putting my hand in my pocket to tell you that yesterday the lobola was paid fully. Fully, fully. Let's welcome Brother Tamo and Sister Anna on stage. Oh, yes. Hey, 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 hey. It was not an easy journey, because this daughter of ours, she's expensive. Very expensive. So the mountain was steepy. But by the grace of God, the Lord has been good to them. And the lobola, you know, I asked this morning in their group, is this thing paid in full? She answered to me herself. She said, Pastor, the thing is paid in full. Yeah. Hallelujah. So now they are married legally. They are married customarily. I think the only thing left the blessing. Saturday, the 6th of August, 2025. There's the day. Save the date. Save the date. Saturday the 16th of August 2025. Hallelujah. Wait. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Ask them. When? Onyala ling. Hallelujah. Please tell five people you are next. By the grace of God. Amen. So we are so proud of them. Hallelujah. Please mark your calendars. On the 16th of August, we shall be here to celebrate them. And we're going to give them a chance to do a practice kiss real quickly. They have to practice. Do you want them to do a practice kiss this morning? 1, 2, 3, quickly. Quick one, nothing. Oh, yes. If you want to see the real kiss, come on the Saturday, 16th August. Hallelujah. Please stretch your hand. Let's bless them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the good work that you have done for our brother and our sister. Thank you, Lord, for opening the doors of married life to them. Thank you for taking them through the journey up until now. We are so grateful, Father. We pray, Lord, that the journey leading to the solemnization of their wedding will be blessed. All their needs are met. Thank you, Lord, that this wedding will be a joy to all of our hearts. Thank you for giving them strength and patience. Since I met them last year and they started going in this journey, thank you for helping them. Thank you for strengthening them. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. God bless you. Please, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. One thing that God has given us a lot in this church is weddings.
Thank you, Jesus.
So much that people even tell, when somebody start coming to Jesus, they say to them, be careful. Be careful. Pastor Pascal is going to give you a wife if you keep going to that church. And I'm not ashamed of it. I've told you before that I'm not ashamed of it. If you come to this church consistently, I will look at you and I'll give you a husband. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's what I do. It's part of what I do as a shepherd. You have to help your sheep to find each other. Praise the Lord. But don't come to church for wedding. You are coming for the wrong thing. You will not get a wife, you will get a knife. Praise the Lord. Let's run quickly this morning. Are you ready for the word? Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 33. Mark, chapter 9, verse 33. The Bible says, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? Verse 34. But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. So there was an argument among them regarding who is the greatest. So when Jesus asked them, okay, I saw you guys discussing on the way. What was it about? They were too ashamed to say, actually, we're arguing about who is the greatest among us here. Boso Kemang, who is the main? Who is the main guy? Do you understand that? Who is the main guy? Amen. Can I tell you something? This argument has never stopped in the church. There's always an argument, even though it is not vocalized, but everyone is wondering who, like, and there are those who feel, here, I'm the top dog. I shouldn't say this thing. I'm the top dog here. And you know, when you come, you will quickly know who is the top dog. As soon as they assess your intentions, after the service, you start feeling the vibes. And if they have created an entourage, they don't come themselves. They send the entourage first to school you where you are, like understand where you have come. Do you understand? And if they see that you are not understanding, then they come themselves. That, you know, you must understand. I'm the main person here. I've been here before. In every company, this argument is there. Even between husband and wife, this argument is there. Who is the greatest? Between siblings, this argument is there. Among the ushers, the worship team, who is the greatest among us? Who has more favor? Who is more powerful? That argument is there. Do you get it? And I will not be surprised that you even came here this morning. That argument is in your heart. The source of almost every offense in any church is this. I wouldn't be offended if I don't think of myself in a certain way. But if in my mind I'm the greatest or I'm something or someone, and you didn't treat me appropriately or accordingly, then that's how offense is born. That's how offense is born, because I start feeling you are undermining me. I start feeling you don't respect me. You don't know who I am. There's a feeling that I am something or I am someone, and you are not paying enough attention. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand honor. We have to honor people. The Bible says that honor your father and your mother. We are encouraged to honor those that are in front of us. That is not what I'm referring to right now. It's that there's this competitive spirit and attitude that comes in us. And that causes us to start, instead of focusing on the assignment, we start focusing on each other and outdoing one another. Such that sometimes the job itself doesn't get done. The only thing that is taking place is this argument. Winning the argument over who is stronger than who. Who is better than who. Who has more knowledge than who. Who is better at this than who. That becomes the argument, which is a recipe for failure, because it means if I feel I'm greater than you, I will never come and help you succeed. I will never bring my helping hand. I will never support, because I will feel that if I support you, I will validate your greatness. Then we start fighting among ourselves. Who is the greatest? Do you think, I mean, this is why they couldn't tell Jesus what they're arguing, because they themselves knew it's wrong what we're doing. It's wrong, but it's going on. I mean, Peter, feel this thing, guys. You must have respect. I'm older than all of you here. I'm the greatest. Then John says, no, 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 no. Have you seen how Jesus talks to me? I'm the person he loves the most. So I'm the greatest because Jesus loves me the most. Luke says, if it wasn't for me, all of you would be sick. I'm the doctor that always gives you pills. I'm greater than you. I went to school more than all of you. You guys don't know anything. You're fishermen. Who is the greatest among us? Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 35. Listen, look at this. Then Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, whoever wants to be first, must take the last place and be the servant of everyone else. He said, whoever wants to be first among you. And can I tell you something? There's nobody here who doesn't want to be first. Including myself. I want to be first. And I know deep down your heart. I know you might use false humility, but deep down your heart, everybody wants to be first. And now Jesus is giving us the key. He says, if you want to be first, hallelujah. If you want to be first, take the last place. Ah, Jesus, that doesn't sound like wisdom. How can I want to be first and I'm not last? He said, if you want to be first, become a servant of everyone else. And you know, it would take a long time to realize that the wisdom of this 33-year-old Jewish boy was greater than the wisdom of all your parents and all my parents. Because chances of me taking my friend to my bedroom are close to zero. Because he doesn't think I'm the greatest. So I want to prove him I'm the greatest. So I cannot show him my things. Do you understand? Like I make sure he doesn't know my things. But I've shared this here before. My plumber, who is a servant, will enter my house. I will take him myself. Like, no boy. I will take him by the hand. I say, come, Papa, come. We'll cross through the whole house. He will enter my bedroom. Then he will enter my bathroom. A servant. By being last, he becomes first. Wow. Let me tell you something. We don't struggle with servants. We struggle with equals. Do you struggle with your electrician?
Not at all.
He's not there to compete with you. He's there to help you. So you also open everything to him. You don't struggle with him. So your electrician can be first in your mind in who to choose to come first. Rather than the person you are competing with. And this is the key. The servant is always preferred. Let me say it again. The servant is always preferred. Uh-oh. You want to be first?
Yes, sir.
Be a servant. You will be shocked at how being a servant will get you first place. First place. Where nobody could have chosen you, but because you are rather a servant, everybody needs your help, everybody needs your support, so everybody will open their houses to you. This is why doors are closed to us. You don't go as a servant, you go as a boss, you go as a competitor, you go as an equal. And then you see, people don't like when you want to show them that you know better than them. So therefore, they make it their assignment to crush you, to oppose you. He sat them down and said, listen, I know what you want to do, but you are going about it the wrong way. There's a way. Become a servant. You know, we love servants. We love servants. A servant, I mean somebody who is helping you, somebody who is assisting you. They become so important to you. I now understand why a centurion went to beg Jesus to heal his servant. I don't know if that centurion was going to beg Jesus to heal his brother or to heal. This centurion went to beg Jesus to heal a servant. When you are serving, you don't know what people will do just to make sure you are there. It says, be the servant of everyone else. See yourself as a servant, not as a boss. Once you see yourself as a boss, other bosses will not like you. And everybody is a boss to some degree. People only allow you based on what you can do for them or how helpful you can be to them. Once they sense that you are competing with them, they withdraw. Hence, I repeat, this wanting to be great can happen between husband and wife. They are competing among themselves. When this one says A, this one says B, C. They are competing. I'm greater than you. I earn more than you. I know more than you. I went to school more than you. I can do this better than you. Competition. between siblings. And they end up not helping each other. I should not
say these things in the church.
They can't help each other because I want to make a point that I'm greater than you, so I will never help you. I will make sure you go down so that it can validate my point that I'm better than you. So witchcraft start taking place among family members. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest among us? Is it the person who wears the nicest suit? You see, in the world, the greatest is the one that other people are serving. In the world, out there. That's how they compare. Like, for you to be great, when we say you are great, mean everybody is tiptoeing around you. People are just bowing before you. All of those things. Everybody is serving you. Then you are great. In the world. That is the system of the world. In the world, the greatest one is the one with the more money, the more women, the more power, the more desire. In the world, if you are greatest, it is revealed by your position. But in the kingdom, if you are greatest, it is revealed by your service, not by your position. That's why I have the numbers of servants in my phone, not numbers of bosses. I have the number of my mechanic. I have the number of my electrician. I have the number of my plumber. I have the number of even my gardener. You will be shocked. The numbers on your phone are numbers of people that are serving you, people that are helping you, people that are actually playing a role in your life. Their numbers are important to you. And maybe the reason why your name is not appearing in certain people's phones is you are not offering a service to them. You are of no service. It's changing for somebody right here, right now. It's changing for somebody. So the world has taught us a servant is a nobody. A servant is a low-rank person. A servant is somebody everybody runs away from. Like, you just call him for menial jobs. You call him when there's nothing important to do. Very few of us know the names of our gardeners. Very few of us even know the story of the people that make your house move. Because, according to the world system, those people are nobodies. But you'll be surprised. In God's kingdom, it's totally different. And the reason I'm making mention to this is not to play down on high position. I want you to understand that when you come with that mind in the church, it becomes so difficult for you to be a servant. Because you view servanthood as a downgrade. You view servanthood as something for people who have nothing to do. You feel you are at a higher position, and when you come to church, you start fighting for positions. You don't fight for service. That's where the problem starts. Is that out there you are trained to be you are great if you are this, if you have this, if you are this. And you know, there's nothing wrong with those things. The Bible says that if you serve the Lord, he will bless you. And now if God starts blessing you, you will have things. But God never wants things to have you. God wants you to have things, but things must never have you. So you should always be able to serve. No matter how God lifts you. It becomes a problem because now, God has just blessed you with this. God has just given you this. Now you are now this. All of a sudden, you can no more do this. Because people of this rank can do this. Can I tell you something? Being a servant is arguably the greatest title you can have in the house of God. I want to repeat my statement. Being a servant is arguably the greatest title you can ever receive in the house of God.
not bishop, not prophet. I know we like these titles. We like what they, how they sound and how mighty they sound. And what you will be surprised, that's not how God interprets things.
Give me Joshua chapter 1 verse 1. Somebody's blessed here already.
Yes.
And I haven't even started preaching. Can you believe it? I'm just introducing the thing to you. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, or the Lord's prophet, the Lord's archbishop, the Lord's reverend doctor, the Lord's servant. Give me verse 2. Give me verse 2. Moses, God is speaking. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. My servant. He's claiming Moses as his servant. He said, Moses is my servant. Not Moses, my pastor. Moses, my bishop. Moses, my this. Moses, my archdeacon. Moses, my worship this. No, Moses, my servant. May God refer to you as his servant. It's the greatest title. It's the greatest title you can ever receive from God. If God can look at you and say, you are my servant. If that can ever happen in your lifetime, that God mentions you as his servant. You are here. Job chapter 1 verse 8. I'm talking about the title of servant being by far the greatest. The Bible says, then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. This is not somebody telling God. This is God telling the devil. I want to tell you something. The day God will refer to you as his servant, the day God looks at you and say, my servant, you can die in peace. No wonder when you stand before him one day, he will not say, well done, good and faithful apostle. Well done, good and faithful bishop. Well done, good and faithful pastor. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I know. We are fighting for titles. We are fighting for positions. We are fighting for recognition. He is looking for servants. He is looking for servants. So last week, we were all blown away here by the statement of Mary. I am the Lord's servant. Lakata. Lakatoma laka. Lakate masala. Mary looked at Gabriel the angel and said, you know what? I am the Lord's servant. Whatever he wants is what shall be done. I don't care about the cost. I don't care about the inconvenience. If this is what the master wants, I am the servant. I will do whatever the master wants. Being a servant is a privilege. you don't understand. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Do you know with all your titles, you will never be allowed in the White House. But servants are allowed in the White House. Oh. The gardener is allowed there. You are a CEO, they don't allow you. But a gardener is allowed in the White House. A cook is allowed in the White House. A cleaner is allowed in the White House. Servants are privileged. Many of you here might never see my bedroom. But a person who served me as a servant will know everything about me without a title. Without a title. I think I'm preaching the word of God here, right here before us in Kalanyon. The pure word of God. You are receiving it right now. And you are becoming a servant of the living God. Come out of these deceptions. Come out of these deceptions that have come to blind us. It's a privilege to be a servant in God's house. A privilege. Listen to a man who understood it. Psalm 84 verse 10. My God. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Listen to David. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Do you know what is a doorkeeper? You are outside. Oh. David says, I prefer to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be a great person anywhere else. Why? Serving God is a privilege. Even if you are just a doorkeeper, it's a great thing. David said, just put me as a doorkeeper. I will be okay. Believers today, put them as a doorkeeper. They will insult you. They will punish you. You will regret ever mentioning their name as a doorkeeper. Are you mad? Do you know who I am? Is it because I'm coming to your church? Eh? You say I'm a doorkeeper. Do I look like a doorkeeper to you? Hey, another person, a king, a whole king, is saying, if I can just be a doorkeeper, it will be such a privilege. It gets more interesting. And I want to tell you this. If you don't serve God, if you choose to not be a servant of God, because this is also a prophecy that I'm releasing this morning. If you don't choose to be a servant of God, God is going to make you serve your enemies. If you refuse to serve him because it's too low for you, it's nothing to you. It means nothing to you. You have time for everything except for him. God says he is going to make you serve, but you will serve your enemies. Deuteronomy 28. I like always backing what I'm saying. Verse 47. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm. So some people are serving God with bitter faces. They are serving God with watermelon faces. They are not excited. Even those when God says, I don't receive it. Like you are not even among those who don't serve. Some people don't even serve altogether. There's a problem for those ones. But you are even serving, but you are doing it with a bad attitude. He says, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy. I was so excited this morning as I saw the worship team rejoicing before the Lord. You know, not asking, you know, do you know, I'm a very big person. I can't dance like that. These are for children. Donald Trump dancing. Are you Donald Trump? Are you Donald Trump? You, let's
Listen, he can do this thing. Every move is billions of dollars. You don't even have 10 rand and you are doing. God is setting you free in the name of Jesus. I tell you, he said, if you don't serve God with joy, people are coming to church as if they are going to visit a prison warden. David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was very excited. You must see the same you when you are going to your boyfriend's house. You become like a snake. You become like a snake. When they said to you, let's go to church. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've been working hard. What are all this? Listen, the joy of the Lord is returning to you right now. It's returning to you. In the name of Jesus, you will serve your God with joy and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. There's nothing boring about Jesus. It's just that you are too used to the devil. That's why Jesus looks boring to you. He says, if you don't serve me with joy and enthusiasm, look at this, for the abundance of benefits you have received. So when God looks at you, he sees what he has poured on you. He sees what he has given you. He sees what he has saved you from. He sees what he has delivered you from. He sees what he has rescued you from. And he's looking for your service. And he says, this is how you are serving me for what I've done. He says, for what you have received. Do you know what you have received? The benefits you have received. Is it how you are serving him? So he says, if you do not serve the Lord, it's a warning for somebody here. You are running out of time for changing your mind and repenting. He said, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received. 48. You will serve your enemies. Whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. Say with me, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. This shall never be my story. Yeah. Do you know what it means to serve your enemies? You go on a job you don't like. You work for people you hate. You do things you don't want to do anymore. You are serving your enemy. You say to yourself, oh, I will never do this again. But you're back at doing it. You are serving your enemy. It says, if you do not serve the Lord your God, you will serve your enemy. The choice is yours and mine. So serving God is an escape from serving your enemies. If you don't serve God, you will serve your enemies. You will serve your enemies. You'll find yourself in places you wish you're not finding yourself into, but you'll find yourself there. Because where he wanted you to be, you say, it's boring to you. You're not enjoying such things. Are you welcome?
You know what is an iron yoke? A yoke is usually made of wood. God says, this one, I'm not going to use wood because wood can deteriorate. I use iron on it. The thing will be on your neck till your dying day. You work. I get it. You say you want to work. You can work for everybody, not to work for God. Okay, God said, I'm going to make you work. You will work. You will work. I'm telling you, there are people that are working. You will work. You will never have a time even to rest. You will not have time to enjoy. You will buy a house, you can never stay in it. You will buy a TV, you can never watch it. You will buy things, you can never enjoy them. You will work. If you like, don't serve God. Go and serve your boss. Go and serve these people. No problem. God said, you don't want to serve me. You think it's a bad thing to serve me. It's a lower rank thing. Working for me is bad. No problem. I will send you. Go work. You will 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 work. And you will never even realize that you are working. Because when God has cursed you, you can't see it's a curse. You will think you are doing great. You will think you are great. You think that everything is flying. You look at everything you have accomplished. You say, yeah, I've done it. You can't. You buy a house. You can never stay inside. To buy a house and to live in it is a blessing. When Satan has really, when God has sent you over to the devil, Satan will inspire you. You will buy something, put tenants inside. So you are always working. You never get to enjoy anything you have. The house you bought, another person is enjoying it, paying you small rent that you are using to pay the same house. You keep saying, I have a house, I have it. You have nothing. You've never stayed in it. You've never used the kitchen. You've never used the TV in it. Another person is enjoying it. You don't want to serve God? That's an iron yoke. God will give you a man you will never see. Because you are saying to God, I can't serve you because I'm in a relationship. Because I'm going to give you a man, you will never see him. You can never see him. He's always busy. He's there, he's there, he's here, he's there. Let me be very honest with you. Nobody is more wicked than God. Nobody. God created everything, including wickedness. When God decides to be wicked on you, look, when we burn you, and then you burn, and then you die, and it's over. When God burns you, you burn, but you don't stop burning. The fire doesn't stop, and the pain doesn't end. Have you ever seen that type of wickedness before? Do you understand that level of wickedness when God decides to be wicked on you? You see, when he chooses to be good, you are taking him for granted. When he wants to be merciful, you think he's a mugu. He doesn't know anything. He said, okay, every coin has two sides. You see, I'm good, but I'm also just. So I want you to see my goodness. But since you don't want to enjoy the goodness, let me move to the justice. And when God releases his justice on us, nobody is more wicked. If you want, that's why God says, leave vengeance with me. Don't try to venge yourself. You think you are wicked. I am more wicked. Let me avenge you. God says, when somebody has hurt you, don't try to hurt them back. Take their file.
come and give it to God. Say, Lord, you are a better at judging and avenging. There's a place God says, I decided to give them blood to drink. I mean, no matter how we catch you, can you be inspired to give people blood? God says, I decided to give them blood to drink because they have taken the blood of my servants. He is a good God, but don't joke with his goodness. Use it to your advantage. To your advantage. To your advantage. Read your Bible. He will say to you, destroy all of them, destroy the babies. Kill everybody. Even when you are hating somebody, will you kill the babies? Okay, wait until God decides to come on you. Everybody dies. The babies dies. Everybody dies. Don't be fooled. He is just gracious and merciful. Doesn't mean he's foolish. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophet, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. That's why I came to teach you this morning about being the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant. I don't want to scare you. I actually want to show you that actually when you choose to serve God, you've done the wisest things you could have done with your life. The wisest you could have done is to serve God. And I pray that this morning, as we are here like this, you will make that commitment. Serving God is not by chance, it's by choice. He says, as for me and my house, we will. So your will is involved. Your will, you have to be willing. He said, as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. It's a willing decision. It's never by force. It's never by chance. It's by choice. So anyone here that is struggling to serve God, you are serving something else. It's your choice. It's your choice. And you can decide this morning and say like Joshua. He says that if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose. You see, it's a choice. Choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods of your ancestors? Will you prefer the gods your ancestors served before the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? There are gods everywhere. In the name of a company, in the name of an organization, in the land you now live. There are gods there. The forces that are operating, the spirits and the sins that are operating, those are gods that people are serving. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
He says, but as for me and my family, what are we going to do?
We will serve the Lord.
We will serve the Lord. It's a choice. And anyone that would make that choice this morning, you would have become very wise to choose to serve the Lord, to choose to live for God.
Amen.
I want you to think about it. Can we all rise, please? Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Are you blessed?
Yes.
I want you to think about this just for a second. For a second. Who am I serving? Now, think about it. Think about it. Who am I currently serving? Like right now, who am I serving? Think about it.
am I saying?
Who gets the best of me?
Who gets the best of my time? Who gets the best of my energy? Who gets the best of my money?
That's how you know the God that you are serving. Check where your time is going. Check where your resources are going. Check where your energy is going. Check where your intelligence is going. Check where the best of you is going. Even some of you are young. Check where your youth is going. Your youth. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old. I have served Jesus with my entire youth. And I'm not ashamed of it. By the grace of God, Satan has never taken anything from me. Except the ones that he was deceiving me to take. But willingly, I gave my life to Jesus. My youth, my intelligence, everything that I have used it to serve the kingdom of God. My money is serving the kingdom of God. My intelligence is serving the kingdom of God. My energy, sometimes I start in the morning at 7, I come back at midnight. I've never done that to any human being alive. I do it for the living God. You can't pay me. Who are you serving? Think about it. And because this morning you can choose. He says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. I want to pray for people here. Can you close your eyes and bow your heads? If you are here this morning, you are saying, Pastor, thank you for preaching the truth to me. Thank you for showing me the way. I'm glad I came to church today. I see that I've been serving everybody except my God. He gave me life, breath, strength. The wisdom I'm using to serve men, he gave it to me. But I've never thought necessary to use it for him. Ah. He gave me money. I use it for everything except him. I struggle to pay my tithe. I have all arguments when it comes to God and money. And it comes to God and my time. When it comes to God and my energy and my intelligence, I have no time for him. But come and see me work for everybody else. No. Pastor, thank you for speaking the truth to me this morning. Serving God is a privilege. I want to become a servant of the Lord. And I want to help all of you. If you are here, because God gave me this word for you. If you are here and you want to serve God, I want to pray with you. Because the first step is you have to surrender. You have to surrender. I did this when I was 13 years old. You have to give him your life. What is your life? What are you going to do with it? Look at how you are using it. You can clearly see that you are not doing well with your own life. Why don't you give it to him? I'm going to count up to 3. You are saying, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I choose Jesus this morning. I choose Jesus. I want to serve God. I want to be a servant of God. Whatever it means, Pastor will teach me what it means, but at least I want to choose God. I choose God. The Bible says you cannot serve God and money, so I choose God. I don't choose money. I don't choose mammon. I choose God. I choose God. And I believe God will help me fix whatever I need to fix, but I choose God. I choose God. There will be adjustment to be made. God is gentle. He will take you through the process gently. What he wants is your heart. Pastor, I choose God. I'm going to count up to 3. If that is you, Pastor, I choose God. At the count of 3, you raise your right hand. Mean it from your heart. You are not doing it for Pastor. You are doing it before your God. Pastor, I choose God. Right now. And God is going to bless you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your right hand if you want me to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are rising all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I choose God. God bless you. God bless you. You are doing the right thing. I choose God. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Now you are here. You are already born again. No doubt. I believe. We thank God for that. But are you working for God? Are you serving God? Is God in your agenda? Your week is starting after the service. Is God a part of it? What are you going to do for God this week? You see, you are living for yourself and you are just coming to God for 2 hours. No, we can do better. Pastor, I want to repent and I want to come back to the heart of worship. I want to come back to God. I break this altar this morning. At the count of three, Pastor, I want you to commit my life to the living Christ. He died for me when I was a nobody. Why can't I live for him when I'm somebody? At the count of three, your hand must go up. Pastor, pray with me. I want to recommit myself this morning to God. I want to lay my life at the altar. I want God to come and take control. Let him rule over me again. Let him be the one I serve. Wherever he sends, I will go. Whatever he asks, I will give. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. I want you to commit to God. God bless you. That's right. That's right. I want you to commit. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Now, if you raise your hand, the first time I said, or the second time I said, I want you to take a step of faith. Come and join me here at the altar. Let's lay it down right here, right now. Make your way, make your way, make your way. Come on, somebody, make your way. 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 Lantonema. Santonema. Mantonema. Make your way. Make your way. I know God has spoken to you. I know God has spoken to you. I know God has spoken to you. I'm still waiting for people. You are saying, Pastor, I want to restart with God. Now. I lay it down. I lay it down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you raise your two hands to the heavens? Before I pray for you, I want you to pray yourself. Pray yourself. Father, I'm coming back. Father, I need help. Father, I need help. I need help. Have me. Help me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Come on, pray. Pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray right now. Come on, open your mouth and talk to the Lord. You are talking to your maker. You are talking to your savior. You are saying, Jesus, I choose you. You chose me when I was nobody. I choose you when I'm somebody. Talk to him right now. Come on, lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. Let go. And let God. Let God. Let him take control.
There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power.
Keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. Lay it down at his feet. Father, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Cleansed and sanctified. Woo. Here I stand. My victory.
Put your pride aside. Put your position aside. Put anything you have aside. You are before your Father. You are before your Father. Let it down. Let it down. Hey. 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 Masha'allah.
Oh, I stand before you, no longer the same.
Now I'm going to join your faith. I'm going to join my faith to your faith. We are in a covenant this morning. We are covenanting ourselves. We are saying, Father, forgive us. I am joining you on this road. I'm also part of you. I want you to know that just because I preach doesn't mean I'm perfect. I am here with you. We are together in this. We are together here. And we're going to come to him. And we say, Father, Father, open your mouth. Father, forgive me for serving other gods except the living God. I was deceived. I was distracted. I lost my way. But this morning, I come before you. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day, you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe you are the Son of God. You are the living God. I choose you. I choose you. You are my God. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Take over, Jesus. Take full control. From today, I will serve no foreign God. But Jesus will be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another chance. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Somebody help me celebrate Jesus in this place.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.